You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, there is no off-season for volunteering. We're asking the best fans in the NFL to make a difference by volunteering 10 hours in your local community. Take the Cleveland Browns First and 10 pledge today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to learn more. Vic Carucci, Jim Donovan, who is sitting in for Nathan Zagura. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are hoping very soon to hear from the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, when he addresses the media following today's first of three mandatory minicamp practices. So we got him tomorrow and Thursday here. I think the forecast, they're calling for
not
some
good,
like
Vic.
Serious monsoons
yeah, not
tomorrow.
Good, yeah, so yeah, that's as a matter of fact, there was a little drizzle as we left the practice to conclude this practice. But I think tomorrow and Thursday you could be in the field house.
And that's not as – I think it's going to be rough because you don't get the quality of
space. Yeah, you got a
lot
of guys, too.
You got a lot of guys. This is, as you said, the bigness – this thing feels more like – training camp.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of the numbers of everybody out there when it's mandatory. So we saw a little bit, or we got to see some today of Nate Burleson.
Yes, that's very encouraging. Yeah. Nate Burleson is just a terrific guy. And, of course, you know, trying to come in here, had the broken arm, had a cast on that, got the cast off, and was out doing some individual stuff out there today. Yeah. But when you talk to him, Vic, boy, I'll tell you what, you would like to sit someone like Josh Gordon down and just have him live with Nate Burleson, because Burleson, you know, is wowed by Gordon's ability, which we all are, and really would like to, you know, show him the way to become a really true great professional. Not just the talent of catching the ball.
Yeah.
I think Josh has got that, and he's only going to get better. It's the other part.
The little things.
Yeah, the little things. So which I think that's good. It's good to see Burleson on the field.
Still no Miles Austin. He's still observing. But what I liked about what I saw of him today is that he's giving some kind of coaching instruction to their younger receivers. He's watching the routes as they're being run, and as Kyle Shanahan and as the coaching staff takes these receivers through their drills, he's offering his two cents. He's kind of running along with those plays. Again, not wearing just wearing a baseball cap and T-shirt shorts, but as far as his or jersey shorts, as far as his timetable and getting on the field, it'll be interesting to hear from Mike Pettine when the expectation is on that. I'm gonna take a wild guess and say probably not over the next 2 days, so
no.
We won't see him until training camp. But how deep into camp is the question, into training camp?
Yeah,
we gotta know what we have. In
you
this
have
time.
To, yeah. But you're gonna have to find that out pretty quickly, especially there is such a need spotted wide receiver for the Browns, and maybe they have solved some of it. But on the other hand, still no Travis Benjamin.
Yeah.
He is still off to the side. Deion Lewis, the running back that sparkled last year in the preseason but got the broken leg in the second preseason game against the Detroit Lions. He's out there but not participating. He's on the side too. And I'm sure he's itchy to get out there, Vic, because he probably sees that the running back group, I mean, you look at a guy like Chris Obanaya now, you know, who's been so useful for the Browns the last couple of years in filling a lot of roles, running back, fullback, being able to just hang in there and protect a quarterback in a blitz situation, doing a lot of work. But now you've got West in here, you've got Ben Tate in here, and that running back position is going to be a real spot of competition, hot competition starting in July.
No question. And I think part of that thinking in keeping maybe some distance between Deion Lewis and the field is to be absolutely sure, number one, that he can go out there. And number two, you know, with risk of re-injury, and he's a veteran enough player, you don't want to put yourself in a trap where you're
right.
stuck with a guy, you know, under those circumstances.
Absolutely.
And that can happen. One of the things he wanted to do, and he's in our studio with us, we mentioned Shane Garrett. Shane, you're going to get on that. I'm going to ask you to get on that microphone right there. You are from our Play the Draft contest. You were one of the top people in terms of ranking on that. First of all, welcome to the studio. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. You are a math teacher from Ashland Crestview. So where are you from?
I'm really from the same area.
Same area, okay.
Yeah, I grew up there, went to Kent State,
All right.
and was fortunate enough to get a job right out of college and Move back next to mom and dad.
No offense, Shane. I hated math in school.
I did too.
And I'm getting this funny feeling that, you know, when the math teacher's in the room, I just get all uptight.
Shane, if Vic and I could have conquered math, we really would have made something out of our lives.
Exactly.
But we're sitting here at 1:25 in the afternoon talking about free agents.
How do you make – can math ever be made fun for students?
It can. Some of them – most of the students would disagree to that assertion, but
Do you use sports as a way to get through to those reluctant, as my some of my teachers did, like, you know, just whatever it's batting averages and other forms of statistics to just try to relate to say, hey, you know, there's an application to this stuff into fun things that you might like?
Well, I mean, numbers are all around us. Stats, you guys work on a daily basis and statistics. And, you know, I have a lot of passions, whether it be history or math. I think when the students walk into my classroom, you know, they're just inundated right away with sports because I have a big Browns helmet
right
on the wall. So
cool.
You know, they see the connection right away.
So what are your Browns memories? What are your how long you've been following the Browns?
Well, when I first, probably prior to the age of 7, I was a big Roger Staubach fan. And
yeah.
I really kind of acclimated to the Cowboys, but I was always a Browns fan, and so it was like a parallel universe there. I mean, but it probably was in the 80s, the Cardiac Kids.
All right.
And I still remember listening to the 12 Days of Christmas.
A Ritigliano Christmas, yeah. A Sam Ritigliano Christmas.
That's cool stuff. Shane Garrett joins us. He's a math teacher. And he's a winner. The reason he's in studio today and he had the opportunity to hang out with us, by the way, for as long as you want through the show. And I know you had a chance to just meet Alex Shiner, our team president, and some other folks here. I know we're going to get an opportunity for you to meet the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, in a little bit. But, Shane, play the draft, and that's why you're here. You were among the better performers in that contest. Explain a little bit. We are going to throw it to Coach Mike Pettine in his post-practice news conference. Oh, we're not. Okay, well, don't give me the false start on that. Come on. All right, we'll get that heads up. Matt Fontana is going to cue us when head coach is ready to go. And we can start this explanation. Play the draft. How did you do well in it?
Well, there were three contests. There was a season contest, which started, I believe, back in March. And then there was a week-long contest and then also a monthly contest. Mm-hmm. And in each contest, they each run separately. And basically, you have an arbitrary $12 million, you know, it wasn't my own bank account. But anyway, to play with. And basically, you purchased NFL prospects.
Right.
Draft prospects. And you could only, you know, depending on who you chose, you know, you may only be able to select three or four. Depending on the cost, but basically the idea was, you're trying to pick players that were at the time ranked lower in the draft or thought to go maybe second, third round that might over time sneak up into the first round. So I mean, and as their player values, it really was like a stock market game. You know, as their stock value rose, you're fun gaining money. And so on a daily basis, I mean, for the better part of a month or a month and a half, you know, I was buying and purchasing players on a lot of research. I tell you what, you know, if I was getting paid for that job, that was, I'd probably be a wealthy person at this point.
Who, Shane, gave you the most boost? Whose stock was soaring enough to give you the numbers that you needed?
Actually, the night of the draft, the one that I purchased that morning was the kid out of Tennessee, the lineman that went to the Dolphins, Juwan James.
Yeah.
You know, because again, I was, you know, constantly doing research, and I saw his name kind of linked to the Dolphins. And again, prior to that, I did not have them. You know, I had them taking the kid that the Cowboys took,
the Notre Dame offensive
Zach Martin.
You know, I thought maybe, you know. Probably 2 to 3 weeks ahead of the draft. I mean, that's kind of where a lot of the pundits had him going. But you know, when he went, I really felt that, you know, there were some news stories going out there that they liked him, James out of Tennessee.
Yeah,
Good stuff.
Well, good stuff. Wow, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of study.
Let me ask you this. Why am I not shocked, though, that someone proficient in math did well? It really is what is kind of a numbers game or numbers process. Did that? It sounds more like your research and trying to attach through media reports players to teams was more valuable maybe necessarily than number crunching on this.
Yeah, I mean, the number crunching was minimal, I mean, to some extent. I mean, you still had to kind of look to see where – you know, possibly I would gain the most, you know, overnight or whatever. Sure. But it was more really digging into all the news stories and whether, you know, where some of the pundits were, you know, had people going. Right. And you're kind of at their mercy, but you also kind of have a feel for, you know, what the teams need.
Okay. So. Well, Shane, thank you. We appreciate
it. Congrats.
Congrats and happy to have you with us. And continue to hang out. I know hopefully we'll get you up with Coach when he finally gets up here. And some others and give you the full – have you had the full tour yet?
Yes.
Gotten the tour? Okay. All right. Great stuff. He is Shane Garrett, and he is a math teacher from Ashland Crestview, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are going to, we hope, hear from the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, when he addresses the media. We'll see if we can connect to that. And we also want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Much more is coming up on CBD. Vic and – oh, okay, we're not going to break because the head – I knew if I did that, he'd walk over to the podium.
Boy.
So here it is, the head coach of the Browns, almost roll the drum. We're
he better have something good to say.
He better.
Because I certainly did, and I'm waiting for him.
he'll be joining us shortly when we get the cue, but he's doing a dramatic entrance clearly to the microphone, but we'll wait. There, now we've got Mike Pettine.
Throw it to the podium here. Pettine's walking up right now.
Sure did. I did that for effect. Lighten up, dude.
Oh, man.
I looked for that today.
Please take a minute to turn off your cell phones. Questions for Coach Pettine?
Mike, I know you addressed this in another forum, but can you talk about, or the question would be, why did you go time down hard?
Well, it was just being a first-year head coach, and I'd been a part of it before, just really wanted to get through that first season training camp, and I didn't want it to be, and this was a decision that was made long before the draft. It was just something that that I just felt in my gut, just didn't want to be a part of the first year. I saw the positives of it, but I think there's some negatives to it as well. And just not having a good feel for our roster, just as far as the chemistry and the personalities and all that, that's kind of going into some uncharted territory to agree to do that right out of the gate. And I think that's why the league gives the teams that are in a first year the right to not be a part of that pool of teams that they can potentially require to do it.
Mike, does it make the job of the coaching staff more difficult?
It can. I think it's just something that I just always felt if there's anything that causes us to think for 1 second about something other than preparing our football team for the opener, then that's probably not a good thing. So there are some distractions involved with it. I see the other side of it, the positives that can be there, but from a staff standpoint, that's something that we have to factor in.
Did they make a second push after the draft?
That I don't know. I'm not sure. I personally was not approached about it. It wouldn't shock me if we were asked about it again, but we weren't going to stray from our initial answer.
Mike, how does the intensity of minicamp pick up from OTA?
It does naturally, and I don't know if that was noticeable today, but just I could feel it just kind of being by both huddles, and just the conversations between the huddles were less than pleasant, a little bit more so today than maybe during OTAs. But our guys love to compete, and that comes out. You can tell that. And anytime it's a situation like we did at the end, where it's a pure, it's an unscripted period, and it's a move the ball. I'm sure we'll do some 2-minute work before this camp's done, where those can get ratcheted up even higher.
Mike, could you address why the quarterbacks are not being made available this week?
They had been made available. I don't think the message will be that different than it was before. So it was something that was just in our rotation of things that we just didn't feel that it needed to be done.
Could you clarify what's wrong with Petonio?
He has an injury. He'll be out of camp. He does have an ankle injury. I don't know the specifics of it. I just know it's enough to hold him out of this camp, and I know that he'll be ready to go day one of training camp. We do have some guys nicked up, and I'll repeat the policy for those who are new, is that I won't speak on specifics of injuries if they're going to not prevent a guy from making the start of training camp. So really the only guys that are potential holds late would be Travis, and that would be more of just to give him a little bit extra time. He could start on PUP, but everybody else should be good to go for the beginning of camp.
Mike, why the move with Quentin Groves? And then do you feel you have enough depth at outside linebacker?
We do. We're going to cross-train some guys. Kirksey's going to take some work at outside backer. I think we have the – we always want to be in the position of putting the best 11 out there. So we will cross-train guys. And that's difficult in year one of a program when you're trying to get guys to master their original position. You don't want them to become the old, you know, jack-of-all-trades, master of none. But at some point, you know, you realize that when the roster gets trimmed down and then you realize you got to sit another eight guys on game day, that you have to have some guys that know multiple jobs. And going back to the Quint thing, I won't get into specifics, but it was, you know, Ray and I discussed the roster almost every day, and it was a move that we felt was in the best interest of the Browns. And with veteran players that have a chance to latch on somewhere else, that we would prefer to do it sooner than later, so that they do have the opportunity to move on.
Mike, you talk about the development of the receiving core, and especially guys like Armstrong and Chandler Jones, some of those guys.
Yeah, Anthony's come in and it's just been the ultimate professional. He's a guy who shows up to work every day. He has a little bit of an advantage coming in because he knew the system, having been with Kyle in Washington. But he's definitely, you know, despite his age, that has some juice left for sure. I'm sure you guys saw that today. And he's a good example for the young receivers, how to prepare, how to take care of your body, how to be an ultimate pro. So it's the situation's been good that we've been able to work a lot of receivers in there and get a look at a lot of those guys. And I'm looking forward to camp when we can get that position sorted out.
To go back to the quarterbacks, the interest in Manziel. You
sure.
Know the pressure we're under to provide stories. It's a cover the guy, cover the team. Isn't there a balance there between, you know, doing the right thing for the team and protecting him and also making him available at the end of a mini camp to just assess where he is?
I understand the balance, but I personally, my feeling on that is I'm going to err towards the side of the team if it's close or even to the middle. I mean, that's the approach that, you know, we discussed it as a staff, and that's the way that we decided to go.
When you said, when Johnny went to Las Vegas for that one trip, you told him have fun, and he told you about it ahead of time. Does he talk to you about the trips he's made the last two weekends?
No, because I told him that I didn't feel like he had to come to me every time he was going to leave town. And the philosophy here is we're not going to micromanage the guys. You know, I was involved with an event this weekend, and if there were some cameras at certain times, it probably wouldn't have been the most flattering. It was a group of coaches out. We had a good time, but we were responsible. And when it becomes irresponsible, or when it becomes part something where it involves breaking the law, or something that we feel is a potential problem, we'll step in. We have, you know, Jamil Northcutt does a great job in Russell, Maryland, with the rookie programs, educating those guys. And we're going to bring in speakers for those, not just the rookies, but for the whole team, just to kind of talk about all the potential issues off the field, whether everything from the financial issues to drugs, to alcohol, to try to do our best to educate those guys so they make great choices when they're out of the building.
Where do you draw the line with?
Well, it's difficult to, when we're in that simulated 11-on-11, it's difficult defensively to use a lot of those reps with the first defense. So that's why we're rotating the unit so much. But we feel we're being cautious with it, but to me, it's too big of a risk to take of the downside if somebody does crash into them. But I don't feel it's that significant of a difference that he's not getting the work. He's still getting the 11-on-11 work, calling the play in the huddle. So we feel we're kind of walking that line down the middle, and he knows that I know he's frustrated, but he only has two more days to deal with Spartan mode, and then he'll be full go when by the time we get to camp. I don't think he's losing ground. I think he's frustrated because he sees, hey, my unit's the ones, and I'm not there out there with it. That it's frustrating for him, but he understands very begrudgingly understands why we're doing it. And he is the ultimate competitor, and that's I would prefer. I'm glad that he came and talked to me about it. I'm glad that he feels the way that he is. Because I don't think he would be what you'd be looking for in a quarterback if he wasn't just wearing everybody out to try to get out there full go. I'm sorry. Start that again. It is. I think Brian anticipates very well, and I think that's one of the bigger differences between college football and the NFL is college quarterbacks at times, sometimes based on their system too, they wait till guys get open to throw the ball, and that's a very common thing. That it's rare to have a guy coming out of college who can anticipate the break, whereas Brian understands that the windows are a lot smaller in the NFL, and I think the younger quarterbacks are kind of finding out how tight the windows are in the NFL. But anytime you can throw it before a receiver's open and have it arrive as he's getting open, that's the way to go for sure.
Do you or the offensive coaches know much about this Charles Johnson? I mean, you haven't been able to see much in the field of him. What is your scouting report?
We don't. Very anxious to see him. That we went back and watched some tape from him at Grand Valley, and he was impressive there. And just the things that we've heard from the information that we got from Green Bay when he was on the I believe he was on the practice squad and playing very well. So we don't know much, but he's a guy that's been great in the meetings. He knows the system very well, and very much looking forward to getting him out there.
Mike, what have you thought of Jones?
You're not concerned at all about the things that we've seen on social media of guys over this consistently from the first night he was drafted all the way up until now that sort of is portraying
I'm not concerned. I would become concerned if there was something criminal, and I'd be concerned if it affected his job. I think there's a lot of our guys, if they were, when they leave here, if they were followed around, you'd get some very similar pictures. I don't know about an inflatable swan, but I think you'd still get some pictures.
How's he playing based on what you saw today?
I think he's getting better. I think he's getting more comfortable in the huddle, calling the plays. I think he has a very nice touch with the deep ball, and that he shows that we've added some of the zone read stuff that Kyle had run with RG3 in Washington, and he's done a nice job handling that. But he makes improvement every day, and that's all that we ask of him.
Guys, we got to get Coach going. Tom here, and then
my point about Johnny. All eyes are on him all the time. Are you worried about him maybe putting himself, exposing himself, and putting himself in a bad situation?
I don't, because I think it's something that he's used to. I think he understands that comes with the territory. But I also think he's a young man that he doesn't want his lifestyle or how he lives it to be affected by social media. That he's not going to, I'm not leaving my house. I don't think he wants to be that way. And it just goes back to, one, we're not going to micromanage him until we feel it is an issue. And if it's not affecting him on the field, then I don't think it's anything that we need to address at this point.
Guys, we've got time for one last question. Is it Nate?
What are your impressions of how Jabal Sheard's been fitting into the scheme, and how do you think you'll be able to best use him?
He's been impressive. I mean, he was a guy that liked coming out of Pitt. I was very encouraged watching the film from last year. We talk about the play like a Brown attributes, and we want a guy that plays like his hair's on fire. And he, if I had to pick one guy that I think matches, that fits that, it the first name I would come up with is Jabal. He's versatile. I think we can move him around. He can play with his hand down. He can play up. His drop skills are more than adequate. And he plays violent. And it's tough for him in this arena when it's no pads. I think he'll show up even better when we have the pads on, and his physicality will be much better used.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Sure.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Browns, addressing the media following the practice today, the first of three mandatory mini-camp practices. A lot there to digest. We'll get into some of that. We're also going to get into after further review as we roll along on this Football Tuesday edition of CBD. Jim Donovan sitting in for Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.